KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and windy, 52 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy today, a high of 54. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In the news, the Creston Police Department reports several arrests took place over the past week. Sunday night, 20-year-old Dakota Early of Creston was arrested for a simple assault. She was being held at the Ringgold County Jail on $300 bond. Sunday afternoon, 47-year-old Randy Overholzer of Creston was arrested on a Union County warrant for failure to appear in court on an original charge of driving while revoked. He was being held on $1,000 bond. Early Saturday morning, 23-year-old Bradley Nauman of Creston was arrested for public intoxication. He was later released on a promise to appear in court. Saturday night, 24-year-old Joseph Cosenza Weaver of Lenox was arrested in Creston on charges of theft in the fifth degree and possession of a controlled substance, first offense. He was later released on $1,000 bond. Friday afternoon, 23-year-old Evan Scadden of Creston was arrested on a Union County warrant for a probation violation associated with an original charge of assault with intent to commit sexual abuse without injury. Scadden was being held in the Union County Jail without bond pending a court date. Last Wednesday afternoon, Creston police arrested Jacob Davis of Creston on a Union County warrant for failure to appear on an original charge of driving while licensed under suspension. He was later released on $300 bond. 23-year-old Dustin Hallett and 23-year-old Rebecca Holbrook, both of Creston, were arrested Wednesday afternoon for allegedly violating a protective order. Hallett was released on his own recognizance. Holbrook was later released on $300 bond. Wednesday night, 51-year-old Kyle Grinstaff of Clearfield was arrested in Creston for OWI second offense. He was later released on $2,000 bond. And on November 21st, 39-year-old Jeremy King of Creston was served at the Union County Jail with a warrant related to a charge of dominion or control of a firearm offensive weapon by a felon. King was being held in the jail on $5,000 bond. Creston police received reports of vandalism and theft over the weekend. Early Saturday morning, a woman residing in the 200 block of North Maple Street told authorities someone keyed a vehicle belonging to her while it was parked near her home. The incident, which happened sometime early Saturday morning, resulted in about $1,000 damage to the driver's and passenger side of the car. And a Creston resident reported to police that sometime this month, someone stole a Honda power washer on a two-wheeled cart. The machine was taken from a garage on property the man owns in the 1200 block of Lake Street. Loss was estimated at $350. Elsewhere in state news, a former state legislator in the 1980s and 90s who worked on environmental issues is suggesting current lawmakers should impose the state sales tax on farm chemicals.
I'm taxed if I go down to my Ace Hardware and buy, some 10-10-10 fertilizer to put in my garden. But if you buy tons of it, you don't pay any tax.
That's David Osterberg, a University of Iowa professor who represented Mount Vernon in the Iowa House for a dozen years. Osterberg is the founder of an Iowa City-based think tank that recently issued a report that concluded the voluntary approach to reducing farm chemical runoff isn't working in Iowa.
The ag community ought to be doing a whole lot more than they are. Cost share is good, but I think that we ought to get some of the funds from that cost share program from a tax on fertilizer.
Billions in state and federal tax dollars have been dedicated to on-the-farm projects that prevent both soil and farm chemical runoff. Other groups are lobbying legislators to raise the state sales tax by a fraction to finance water quality and outdoor recreation projects. Republican House Speaker Linda Upmeyer of Clear Lake says taxing farm chemicals or raising the state sales tax for all purchases won't happen in a Republican-led legislature.
I have not heard any conversation about increasing a tax.
Upmeyer suggests there are ways to redirect already existing taxes toward water quality initiatives.
It's a topic that's important for Iowans. We'll continue to look at that. We'll have a variety of ideas moving forward.
Upmeyer says there may be more federal tax dollars available for farmland conservation projects. And she says the state is already spending about $300 million on water quality activities. Republicans will control the debate agenda in both the House and Senate in 2017. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources has stocked several lakes around the state with thousands of trout this month, including the Ada Hayden Heritage Park Lake in Ames. Officials dropped 2,000 rainbow trout into the lake, as well as Prairie Park Fishery in Cedar Rapids, last week. earlier the week, a trout play were placed into the Blue Pit Lake in Mason City. The trout range in length from 10 to 12 inches. The stocking of the lakes is part of the Urban Lakes Trout Program, an effort to introduce trout fishing to more anglers across the state. Trout were also released into 13 other Iowa lakes earlier this fall as part of the program. The city of Evansdale has been draining Myers Lake for a variety of reasons, including making its shoreline more accessible to the public. The mayor, Doug Foss, says that riprap, large boulders on the shoreline, had become overgrown with trees, making the shoreline inaccessible to most people and unsafe for anglers trying to negotiate the area. The trees have been cleared away and many of the larger boulders pushed into the water for fish habitat. The shoreline is being reseeded where the boulders were removed. The shoreline work is being funded by a $75,000 state grant. Repairs and maintenance also are being done on the weir and floodgate at the southeast corner of the lake. Deer hunters will soon be out in force, and a wildlife research supervisor of the Iowa Department of Natural Resources is reminding those hunters who are successful to report their hunt to the state's harvest reporting system. Chris Ensminger says about 20% of hunters who kill a deer fail to report it to the Iowa DNR.
You know, they mean to do it when they get home, and undoubtedly after a full day of hunting, you're tired and probably hungry, and next thing you know, you're falling asleep in front of the TV. You know, then the next day comes and people are busy, and I think a lot of times they just forget.
Other hunters may intentionally fail to report.
You know, they're hesitant to report because they just are a little secretive about what they're doing. Maybe they think we're trying to use the data in a way that's not consistent with what they would like us to do with the management of the herd. And so I'm sure there's a lot of reasons.
The reported harvest is an important piece of information used when wildlife experts discuss possible changes to seasons, antlerless quotas, and other potential regulation changes. Hunters who are caught failing to report within 24 hours of the deer kill can face a fine and court costs about $80. The first of Iowa's two shotgun deer seasons opens on December 3rd. Sioux City authorities have accused a 29-year-old woman of setting a fire in a basement apartment. Fire trucks were dispatched to the apartment on Friday afternoon. No injuries to the building's occupants or firefighters were reported. Adasa Tafala is charged with arson and criminal mischief in connection with the fire and is charged with assault on an officer in a separate case. She remained in the Woodbury County Jail pending $51,000 bond. The firing of Asbury Parks director is being questioned by board members who oversaw his work. Parks board member Ken Resch says the firing of Jason Timey last Wednesday was a surprise. Resch says he was extremely satisfied with Timey's work, so he sent a letter to the mayor and city council expressing his frustration. City officials confirmed that Timey was fired last Wednesday, but they would not discuss the reason. Resch says the board deserves at least a basic explanation. For the part-time parks director position, Timey made $14,251 in 2015. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.